Okay, friends, welcome to this week's installment of the Inner Dimension Shir. This Shir is dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas Moshe Aharon Yitzchak, whose yahrzeit is today, the Neshama Shel Avraham Aliyah. I want to thank you all for coming, and thank you to Yehuda for arranging this and for printing out all the sheets. And let's begin B'siyata Dishmaya. So this week's parsha is Parsha's Truma, which, in stark contrast to last week's parsha Mishpatim, which was all about the interpersonal relationship laws and the legalities of what it means to be in this world, all of a sudden we shift into Parsha's Truma, which is every single member of the Jewish nation is contributing something to the Mishkan, which is God's dwelling place in the world, something ethereal, something miraculous in a certain sense, something extremely, extremely spiritual. And it's a little bit of a jump, and it's a beautiful shift, because like we talked about last time, these two things are not contradictory. That's how a Jew is supposed to be. We have to have our head in the clouds and our feet very, very much on the ground, and that's what it means to be a Jew. So here we begin with the first piece from Degamach and Ephraim, and it's on the first Pasuk, Vayikhu, and the Pasuk says the following, Vayikhu li truma, says God, take for me truma, and the Pasuk continues, Me'ez kol b'nei Yisrael, from each and every member of the Jewish nation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that every single member of the Jewish nation is supposed to contribute something to the Mishkan, some material, something that they're able to contribute. Rashi comments on the word li. What does it mean by yikhu li? Take for me. Of course, who else are we taking it for? We're building God a house in this world. Says Rashi, li lishmi. Take it for me means that it needs to be lishma. It needs to be with intent. It's not some robotic, obligatory checklist that a person needs to go ahead and check off. It needs to be lishmi. When a person is going ahead and giving something to God, it has to be lishma with that intent. Yesh lomar b'zeh, says Rav Nachman Ephraim. Right, the opposite of what that is, right? Lishmi. Yesh lomar b'zeh al derech mashal. So the Rav Nachman Ephraim says that there's something much, much deeper, really that touches the core of what it means to be a Jew and Avodas Hashem. He says there's a parable be'inin achasena to a wedding. He called inin achasena. What are all the preparations for? The kala has her gown and the chasen, everything that needs to be taken care of. All the different details and the band and the wedding hall, all the things that need to go into making a wedding is for the purpose of the marriage. It's for the purpose of the chasen and kala coming into that holy unification under the chuppah to be able to spend the rest of their lives together, to build a bayis neman. But he says, ultimately, there are many people, shetovsim hatafel, they come to a wedding, and instead of being focused on the joy of the marriage, and instead of sitting by the chuppah and realizing that this is what they came for, instead they talk the whole chuppah, and they're on their phones and they're disrupting, and then by the dancing they stand in front of the band, kilu, they came to some sort of concert, and they forget why they came to the wedding in the first place. They're taking the tuffle, they're taking that which is secondary, and they're forgetting about the simcha of the essential unity and the unification that's occurring here, the actual wedding itself. Umashlicha me'ikar, right? They cast away that which is primary. V'chein, the Gemara says, kol hay alma lebehilu ledamya. This whole world is comparable to a wedding. And this is a very, very deep thing. There are many elements to this. We could spend the next hour just talking on this piece. Maybe one day we'll go a little bit slower on these pieces. But for now, we're trying to cover ground. But the whole entire world is comparable to a wedding. And again, in two ways. The first way is, like we just said, there's something primary in this world. And there's something that's secondary in this world. And the question is, what are we choosing to focus on? Are we focusing on the ikar? We only came to the world for a couple of years. It may seem like a very long time, particularly if you're very young. It seems like you're going to live forever. But the truth is that nobody lived forever in that way, right? Eliyahu HaNavi, you know, but certainly not in this world. And so there has to be something primary that we're basing our lives around. The reason why we get up in the morning, that doesn't change from year to year or decade to decade. This is who we are. This is what I'm about. This is my mission in the world. And so in that way, this world is comparable to a wedding. There's an ikar. There's the primary thing. And the secondary thing, and it's up to us to choose what we're focusing to center our lives around. But there's something else that's far deeper, why this world is comparable to a wedding. And that is a very, very deep thing. Can't go into the depth of it now, but just on the surface, Tesh himself. The whole purpose of Yiddishkeit on one level is that we're supposed to go ahead and daven, and we're supposed to learn, and we're supposed to keep the mitzvahs, and all of what that means, interpersonal relationships, ben adam l'chavero, ben adam l'atzmo, how to treat ourselves, and how to appreciate what we are, what it means to be a human being, etzel elokim, and ultimately, our relationship with the master of the world, ben adam l'makom, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the deepest, deepest premise for all of this is that there's a wedding going on. Is that there is, in a certain very deep way, there's the feminine presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is dwelling within us. The Chelek Elokami Mal, that indwelling Shechina, which is a feminine Lashon, Shechina, that which is, thanks for coming, that which is Shochein, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, dwelling within all of us. And what we're trying to do with all of our Avodas Hashem is to make the unification between the Chasam, which is the transcendent, distant, aloof element of godliness, which is beyond the world, to unify that with the indwelling presence of God, which is the Shechina. In Kabbalistic terms, this is called Liyached Kudsha Berichu Ushchinte, to unify these two lovers. The whole Shir Hashirim is a love song. It's between the Chasam, which is the master of the world, who's beyond this world, the infinite one, and that portion of godliness which we have within ourselves, that every time we do a mitzvah, and every time we utter a prayer, and every time we have emunah, and every time we do anything holy, what we're doing is we are allowing that indwelling presence of God to come out, to be emerged, to walk into the grand hall, and to walk down the aisle, and stand under the chuppah with Kudsha Berichu, with that element of godliness that's above and beyond this world, essentially unifying this world and the next. Essentially making this world a more spiritual place by unifying that element of godliness that's from a realm beyond, perfectly spiritual outside of this world, and showing and demonstrating how that transcendent godliness can become manifest in this world. We're unifying these two elements, Kudsha Berichu and Shechinte, and that's what Yiddishkeit is all about. It should be a romance. It should be a passionate thing. It should be full of fire and energy and love. That's what Judaism is supposed to be. Ultimately, we get bogged down sometimes in the details because we don't know how to view those details. We don't know how to understand that it's all love and that it's all founded on this unconditional relationship that we have with the master of the world. It's the most beautiful and special thing. It's the most eternal thing, the truest thing. And so in that way, also, this world is comparable to a wedding. Because that's our whole avoda, is to unify the chasan and the kala, is to unify that transcendent element of God, Kudsha Berichu, with the Shechina, with the indwelling presence, that feminine, ultimately, element of God, which is the Jewish soul. And he says, everything that God created in the world, everything, both positive things and things that are neutral and things that are negative, are all for the purpose of enabling us to choose good from bad and evil, so that in all of our ways, b'chol drachecha da'ehu, says the pasuk, in all of your ways, da'ehu, which literally means know him. But we know that the word das doesn't only mean to know, but it also means to unify. Vayeda Adam as Chava Ishto. The first time we see the word das in the Torah is where Adam and Chava get together. And that is called, in a euphemism, the word das, which means connection. So the pasuk could be read, b'chol drachecha, in all of your ways, da'ehu, unify him. Unify that transcendent element of godliness with the internal element that you have within. Manifest your soul. Make the world more spiritual. Bring that other world and that otherworldly energy down into this world. Everything in the world can be seen as enabling us to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either by doing certain things or by holding back from certain things, but it's all a marriage, it's all a unification. But he says, ultimately, just like the mashal, yish kama anashim, there are many people, shereitzim le'echov lishtois, they want to be in this world in the way of those that stay in the front of the band the whole wedding and forget why they came here to the chuppah, forget about the marriage, forget about the joy and the unity that's happening here. They just want to eat, they want to drink, they want to run after pleasures their whole lives. And ultimately, they're letting go of that which is primary. And this goes for the mashal also. Those people who understand what a chuppah is, those people who are moved to tears by a chuppah, who wouldn't begin to think that they should talk to the person sitting next to them by the chuppah. Do you understand what's happening by a chuppah? All the grandparents from generations and generations are present in the room. All the future children and generations come down to walk with the chasan kala down the chuppah, and you're standing there and talking. A person who has sensitivity, a person who's deep, a person who's plugged into the moment, a person who has that binas halev, that's ultimately a feminine trait, but that person who's very, very sensitive to the gravity of the moment wouldn't even think of doing such a thing. And it's the same thing in this world. The question is, how do we approach the world? HaChacham Einav Berosho. That person who's wise, who has eyes in his head, it's a pasuk in Mishlei, a person who really knows how to look at this world, who mistakel va'osik tamid, such a person is constantly seeing to it and busying himself for the purpose, rak liyachid chasam ikala, that's his whole life. And that's something, that's a goal when a person's in their 20s and when they're in their 30s. And ultimately, from the time that a person's bar mitzvah, if it's conscious, to the time that they leave the world at 120, it is all one miksha achas, like it says by the menorah. It's bound together. What was your life about? What was your life about? Wasn't about this thing and that thing and all a million different things that I was busy with that I forgot about the next hour and the next day and the next week. It was all the Yachid Kudsha Berichu Shechinte. It was about the Chasan and the Kala. It was about a passionate, romantic relationship with the Master of the World, with whom I'll spend eternity. And such a person doesn't have time to busy himself, again, in an unhealthy way. Of course, we have to be human beings. But such a person doesn't have time to waste being busy all the time with tanugi olam hazeh, with this worldly pleasures. He's at the chuppah. How should he be thinking about the sesame chicken or the shmorg? It's something else. Okay, so he needs to eat, so I'll go and grab something. That's not what he's coming to the wedding for. He didn't need to dress up to eat sesame chicken, right? You came for the chuppah. You came for the chasana. Acher gavoy, right? Such a person throws all the pleasures of the world over his shoulder. He realizes this is not lasting. I'm not here forever. I need to focus on the tachlis, the tachlis. There's a big idea. And he says it's all hinted to in these three words. This is what he says. Because Rashi again had commented on the word li, which means for me, that it should be lishmi. Again, we translated it on a simple level, that it means we should have intent. We should take for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a portion with lishma, with intent. Says the Degel, we'll say it outside and then we'll read it inside, is that anytime we see the word shame, this concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name, it refers to the Shekhinah. It refers to the Shekhinah. How is a person expressed in the name, right? Now, when I refer to Yehuda as Yehuda, am I addressing the absolute core of his identity? Not really, right? That is nameless, right? That's been in previous Gilgulim with many different names, but I'm addressing the way that this neshama is manifest in this world is through the name. The name is the manifestation. The name is the way that we can refer to that thing, which is, it's not the essential thing. We don't know what to call that essential thing. But the name is the title. The name is the way that it's manifest. That's what the Shekhinah is in this world. It's the godliness that we could perceive in a certain way, in beautiful actions, in beautiful moments, when we have a feeling. That's the Shekhinah. That's God's name. That's the way that He manifests in this world. Says the Dagamach Nefraim, Vayikhuli Lishmi, puts Rashi together with the actual word. Says God, you know what I want you to take? Vayikach is the lashon of getting married, right? Like it says in Kiddushin. Vayikchu li. Says God, I would like you to unify li, which is referring to the transcendent element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lishmi. I want you to unify li, which is me, with shmi, with the Shekhinah. I want you to unify these two beloveds, the Jewish soul and the master of the world. I want you to bring these two things together. Li is a reference to the Chasan, is a reference to Hashem, and Shmi is a reference to Klal Yisrael, to Nishmas Yisrael, to the Shekhinah that's dwelling within every single Jew. Says God, bring these two things together. How do I do that? How do I go ahead and unify these two aspects? And the answer is the next word in the Pasuk, Truma. What is truma? Lashon hafrasha. Truma means to set something aside. Vayikhuli truma is to go ahead and to take something that was part of the rest of your life. You have a bunch of different rings. You have a bunch of different earrings and things like this. Says God, take a little bit, take a separation, take a portion of that and bring it to me. Truma means to separate. Says the master of the world, Vayikhuli lishmi. You want to unify me with your neshama? You want to all the time bring about this unification between the chasen and the kala? In a divine sense, the answer is truma. V'ahinu, what that means is shemafresh atzma menatafel. Make sure that you're separating yourself, right? Because truma means to separate. Separate yourself from that which is secondary. All the time, be focused and realize that this world is the wedding hall. This whole world is a behilula. Everything in this world, right, is for the purpose of bringing ourselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of building and fortifying that loving and unconditional relationship. Hainu el ashrina, right, or rather menatafel, to separate ourselves from the secondary. Vasnifin, and all the things that are just, you know, they're not essential. But all the time we should be focused on the Iker Shuliyachi Tamei Kutcheri Chushchinte. Like we said, it's for the purpose of unifying the master of the world and the Shekhinah and our souls, the indwelling presence of God. V'zeu, and this is like we said outside, Vayikhuli, says God, take me, that transcendent element of God, Hainu Osi Lishmi, and bring that close to that indwelling capacity for godliness to be expressed in this world. Vayikhuli lishmi. Make sure that every action, if you're eating something, it should be with the intention of strengthening that bond that you have with the master of the world, because you're going to utilize the energy and you're going to do good things and you're going to be thinking good thoughts and you're going to be a sensitive, feeling person, both bin adam l'chaveiro and bin adam l'atzmo, bin adam l'makom. So everything you ate all of a sudden becomes lifted up. A simple hamburger all of a sudden became the highest, highest avodas Hashem, something else. You're taking a nap because you need to go ahead and you need to rest a little bit, so you could go to sleep because your body is telling you that you need to go to sleep, but you could do it with kavana and say, Rabbanu Shalom, I'm going to sleep now because I'm about to daven mincha and I need to have energy, I need to have strength, that I should be able to daven properly, I should be able to live a life that's conscious of you. All of a sudden your whole life, everything in the world, the behilula, the whole chasana becomes about the chuppah, not about the sesame chicken. And that's really what the Dagal is saying, vayikhuli lishmi. How? Truma, by separating yourself from the tuffle, from the secondary things, and always focusing on the ikra. And by the way, very important, this does not mean that you go go ahead and sit on the top of a mountain and meditate for 1,000 years. Doesn't mean that. You're still living in this world. You're still a person who has a family, and you're still a person who has relationships with other people, and you're still a person who has food and has drinks and enjoys a good time. But all of that can take on a different mashma'ut when you're focused on the yichuli l'shmi. All of a sudden, everything, you're truma, you're separating not from the world. God wants us to be in this world, but you're separating from the secondary element of the world, and you're lifting everything up to the highest place. To the highest place. Hainu ala shchina, shu shem shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the name of God, like we explained, k'ma shekasav, v'chol makom asher azkir es shemi, brings a raya from a pasuk, a proof that shemi means the shchina, because in this pasuk, the word shemi, my name, is brought, and the targum, the translation of this word shemi, is the ashri shchinasi. The translation of the word shemi is shchina. Hainu sha'oskam l'karav osiyah, shchina says, God, I would like you to unify me with your soul, and that should be your focus. V'yachtam yichud gamor, the emes, v'havin. And a person should always be focused, again, to make this unification between that transcendent element of God and our souls, and that's what Judaism is about. It's not about laws, and it's not about obligations and restrictions. It's a love affair. It's an absolute, absolute love affair. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. It's the chuppah. Amazing thing. Okay, let's move forward. Degomachan Ephraim Avnei Shoham. The pasuk says, Avnei Shoham, Avnei Melum Le'efod V'lachoshen. Bezalel ultimately was overseeing the construction of the Mishkan, of the Big Tikkun, and everything like that, was supposed to go ahead and to have two kinds of stones that were to be collected from the Jewish nation. One kind of stone was Avnei Shoham. We're called Shoham stones, not really a translation, it's just that's what they're called, Avnei Shoham, and those would go on the ephod. The ephod was that apron that the Kohen Gadol would wear, and they would have two stones on either shoulder. Very, very deep thing. There were two stones, and on each of the stones was inscribe 6 of the names of the Shvatim that he would carry on his shoulder. And then the Avni Miluyim, which means the stones for the fillings, was for the ephod that the Kohen Gadol would wear on his chest, the breastplate. And on that chest had all the names of the Shvatim on their own separate stones. Those were called Avni Miluyim le'ephod v'lachoshen. Again, the Avni Shoham for the ephod and the Avni Miluyim for the choshen. What's the depth here? What's the Torah hinting to us? We know it's not just something that, you know, like a history book or something that's brought from 1,000 years ago. It's saying something to you and I every single day. It's the Torah's chayim, right? It's a living Torah. Says the Degel, Yishlo Marbazel, we can give a remez ader remez. Ki yishnei inyanim mebechinas limud. There's two ways of learning Torah. He uses limud, but the truth is that it's for everything in Judaism. There's two ways of approaching Yiddishkeit, whether it's studying Torah, whether it's tefillah, whether it's halachic observance, whatever it is. There's two approaches. Yesh limud, and again, it's an example. There's one kind of learning Torah, shalom and ha-Torah, masker, osios ha-Torah, a person who's reading psukim, a person is learning a gemara, a person is learning a piece of chasidus, which is what we're doing now, kimoshehem. And he's taking from it just what it says on the page. He's engaged in the very simple act of bringing information off a page into his mind by virtue of reading, translating, understanding, asking questions, giving answers, and that's what he's doing. That's called, he's just engaged with learning what's called kemo sheheim, just on a simple level. L'havin ma shekasev bayit, understand what's written on the page. But then v'yesh shaloymir b'kavana d'liban. It's the same theme. There is a person who's learning or davening or doing mitzvahs, or whatever it is. A person is engaged on the level b'machshavas kedoshes, with kavana d'liban, with intent of the heart, that it means something to him personally, that it's a personal engagement, that a person feels like it's a connection, that it's a bond. It's a, like we said, a love affair. B'machshavas kedoshes, with holy thoughts, v'taharis, and pure thoughts. The Isa Bazar Kaddish, what's the difference between these two engagements with Judaism? Says the Hilig Azar Kaddish, Kishalom and Kipshuta, when a person is learning on a simple level, just to read and understand, just to engage in that simple act of understanding, of educating himself. Azu Morit Shefa, the person is bringing down blessing into the world. A person is engaged in Judaism, even if it's not consciously, a person is still doing unbelievable things, like the Nefesh HaChaim says very, very strongly. A person is fixing all the world, and a person is bringing blessing into his life, and through him, through the whole entire world. Still wonderful. But min basar kaspoy. He's drawing down shefa, that blessing. But like, it's ki'ilu, you come to a person to receive something from him, to receive money if you're collecting, and like he throws a dollar over his shoulder. You have the dollar, but it wasn't really about the dollar. You were trying to go ahead and to receive from him in the way of panim upon him. Right? It's a whole different experience, as the Rambam. Sometimes if a person gives one penny, but he gives it with a smile, it could be a whole different way of tzedakah. Even if he gives you $1,000, but he throws it over his shoulder, right? Because the pauper, in a certain way, wants even more the relationship with the giver than he wants the actual money being given. So such a person who's engaged with Judaism on a simple level is learning, it's education, right? He's doing the mitzvahs because societally this is what an Orthodox Jew is supposed to do. He's bringing Shefa to the world. Mimbasar Kaspa. God will give you everything in the world, but he throws it over his shoulder. And ultimately, a person who doesn't care about that will be satisfied with that, which is most of Orthodox Judaism. We're okay with that. We don't think about a relationship. We rattle off davening. We rattle off. And we do what we need to do. And we're getting Shefa, but it's Basar Kaspa, and we couldn't give a darn. It's a disaster. It's a terrible thing. Right? Not Limitzchus. Of course, it's not everybody. It's a very small portion of Jews, right? But it's me. And sometimes it's you, I'm sure, right? Sometimes we don't care. But there's something much deeper. When a Jew goes ahead and engages with Judaism because it's a relationship, and it's because it's a passionate, romantic bond with the infinite one, not this three-letter word, God. Ridiculous. The infinite power that brings all of creation into existence every second, that is bringing us to tikkun shalim every moment. The world is getting better. The world is getting lifted up. Things are coming to tikkun. It's all the way at the very end. He's tying things together. When it's about machshavas kedoshes, when it's about holy thoughts, bekavana, azhu morit shefa. So again, we're bringing that bracha the same way as the next guy. But mineged panav. But all of a sudden, it's a face-to-face relationship, and it's something else. Something else. On a simple level, it looks the same. It's the same $100. But the question is, are you looking down at the money, or are you looking up at the face of the giver? That's the question. How do we want our Judaism to look? Do we want it to be about the cash that we're getting? God is a, you know, what's it called? A vending machine. You put in a quarter and you get it. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. It's not what it's supposed to be. It was never about that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants v'shachanti b'socham. He wants to dwell within us. He wants us to transform the world into a dir b'tachtonim, to make this world a habitable place for a godliness, and to embody that in our lives so that we impact others in a positive way. It's something else. Mashu acher. Mashu acher. It's not about the money. Also, we get money. Of course, we need bracha. We need parnas, and all of us should live long and happy and healthy lives. And everybody who needs a refu shlema should have a refu shlema. And everybody who's waiting for children should have children. Zerach ayah b'kayama. All those things. We need that, of course, without question. But is it about the dollar, or it's about connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu upon him, upon him? Something else. And he says, this is what the verse is telling us. You have to have the eyes of a tzaddik to be able to see what he saw in this pasuk. How many times do we read this verse? It's on a very simple level. It says the Degel, something so deep. Again, without getting into the depth, it's brought down in the Sefer Yetziro. Again, don't even to say those words, you know, have a half hour introduction. Just Sefer Yetziro in the book of creation, in the book of formation. The Sefer Yetziro gives a mashal for letters, and he calls them stones. Okay, without getting into what he uses that for, he basically talks about the permutation of letters mathematically, that if you have, for example, three letters, how many words in combination could those three letters create? And then if you add another letter, it expands commensurately and exponentially, thank you. And if you add another letter, it's unbelievable, unbelievable. Without getting into what he uses it for, but the mashal is how many stones build how many houses. And again, the stones are references to letters, and the houses are references to words. But all we need is that sometimes letters can be called stones. Okay, what he uses it for. But that's what we need it for. That sometimes letters can be called stones. V'husha amar. Once we know that letters and words can be called stones, so Avni Shoham, the stones of Shoham, is a reference, Hainu, Yeshu Lomid Umaskar Tevos. This is a reference to someone who is speaking the letters, the stones, the letters of the Torah, Shem Mechuna B'Shem Avanim, which, like we said, is called stones in the Sefer Yetzirah. Shoham. You know what the word shoham is? Hainu kimo shehem. You could also read the word shoham as shehem. What do we say shehem? On a simple level. So they're avanim. It's the words of the Torah, but it's shehem. It's avnei shoham. It's avanim shehem. Just on a simple, basic level, God is a vending machine. Kipshutai. And then yesh avni miluyim. But then there's different kind of stones. It's the same stones, the same words, the same letters of the verse of the pasuk. But it's avni muluyim hainu shu maskra tevis bekavana deliba. It's full words, pregnant words, full of energy, full of life, full of vibrancy and vitality and passion, full of youth, full of wonder, full of amazement. B'shem avanim. Umaskra tevis shemuchuna b'shem avanim. Atevis bekavana deliba. Umam shechamanas kadoshes. And he's having holy thoughts, vataris, and pure ideas, and he feels that it's elevating him. It's not something that he learns and he gets up and he's the same person afterwards. No, it's so deep, and it affects him so deeply, and every word that he learns is so relevant to him or her in 2020, our emotional state, our societal reality. And that's why they're called stones, but they're full stones. The pasuk that we're learning is full. full. It's not empty. It's not naked and bare. It's not just a framework of some educational material that we're understanding. It's full of life. Right? And in the Pirush and understanding, the deeper understanding of things, it's 7 letters in 2 words? No. It's 1,000 letters. It means 1,000 different things. It has so many different remazim and sodos. Such a person would want to go ahead and explain what's in one pasuk, what one pasuk means to him. Just one verse. If the whole Torah would have came to the world, just say, Bereishis bara Elokim. Do you know that there's a portion of the Zohar Kaddish just on the word Bereishis called Tikkunei Zohar, right? Of all the different permutations of the word Bereishis, it could spell bara shis and bara tayish and yari boishis and yari shabbos. 70 different, a whole book, Tikkunei Zohar on one word. It says here, Menachem and Tzichas Aran, that if a person knew how, he could write a Tikkunei Zohar on every word of the Torah. Don't just think that it's special first word. You could do it on every single word, how much depth there is. So 2 words, the word S becomes 1,000 words because there's so much depth, there's so much meaning. And that's what Torah is supposed to be. It's Mashu Acher. Mashu Acher. Again, a person who's engaged with Torah in such a way, don't worry, we're not going to have time to do the rest. See, some people are flipping over the sheet. How long is he keeping us here? We're just gonna finish with this piece, but I'll speak a little bit about Purim at the end just for a couple of minutes because it's related, and then we'll finish. Mamshich aleim achshavas kedoshah. Such a person is engaged with avni miluim, of stones that are full, of stones that have meaning. Bekavana deliba, with kavana, with intent. It's a relationship. It's face to face. Vasheni, okay. So he says, what's the shaykhus? What's the connection to the last 2 words? Le'efod v'lachoshin. Very deep. Vashnei b'chinas elu. These 2 ways of engaging with avanim, with the stones, with the letters of Torah, which is avnei shoham, avnei shehem, and then avnei miluim, are connected to the ephod and the choshen. How? Hainu. Kishalom in kipshuto. When a person just goes ahead to just sort of, so to speak, fulfill his obligation with Judaism and just do the bare minimum just so that he doesn't have the Jewish guilt from his grandmother telling him, oh, you know, why didn't you shake lulav today? So you had to shake lulav just to get, so to speak, to become putter from it. Azayhu morit shefa, like we said, this person is drawing down bracha and energy into the world, but from where? Mibasar kaspoi, from behind the shoulder. Says the Degel, that's the pshat, le'efod. Avni shoham is le'efod. Because what's the efod? Is an apron. How do you put on an apron? You tie it around your back, around the shoulder, and you tie it in the back. Says the Hilig Degel Machan Ephraim, when a person is engaged with Torah in a way of avni shoham, avni shehem, so then it's le'efod. Then he's drawing down Shefa from where? From the back. From that side, which is, so to speak, turn his back to him, where he doesn't have a face-to-face relationship with God. Right? It's all about the shoulder. You should put the stones on the shoulder straps of the ephod. But when a person is engaged with Yiddishkeit, and engaged with learning Torah, and engaged with tefillah, he lives life in a way, like we talked in previous weeks, of Yisra, of a seeker, of a searcher, with energy and with passion. Then you have a relationship that's face to face, a relationship that never lets you go, that you're never alone. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is alone with a capital A. Echad Yachad Miyuchad. And when a person feels like he's alone, but he's conscious of understanding that his aloneness is matched with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's aloneness, so then you're always with him. You're always together. You can be alone together in a certain way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. So such a person is drawing down this energy face to face. And that's what the choshen is. Shezeo b'chinas choshen. Where does he wear the choshen? On the front. Not the apron, which is in the back. But the choshen is in the front. And so avni miluyim, where does the avni miluyim go? Where do letters that are bursting with energy, that are bursting with life, where do they go? On the choshen. The choshen is in the front. Because that's a relationship, panim b'panim. That's a personal bond and a connection that we work on and that we sacrifice for and that we care about. Like the first piece, that's the ikra, that's the primary thing in our life. To build a relationship with Hashem. Not to just fulfill our obligation to be putter from Judaism and just try to find every kula that we possibly can. It's not about that. And the Haredim, people think, you know, the Haredim, the Hasidim, it's not that they're trying to go ahead and make their lives more miserable by keeping every restriction. They see it as being another method of getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is there another chumrah that I could keep? Is there another halacha that I didn't know about that I can, because it's not about the framework and the obligation of going ahead and just doing what I need to do. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship. B'chinas choshen shu aleiv nega panav gam hu remes shemunach alibo. Again, the choshen goes on the front, on the heart. V'aleiv mechashim machshavas kedoshes b'limud, and such a person's heart is thinking all the time holy thoughts in his limud. And so, with 1 more minute left, With Hashem's help, I'm having trouble with my throat lately. I wonder why. I want to just go ahead. I scream a lot. I spend the whole week screaming. And it's all at myself. And to everybody else is just overhearing. I'm talking to myself because I need this stuff more than anyone. Mamish. I just want to spend the last 2 minutes talking about Purim because this really, really connects to these two things. The Pasuk says about Amalek that Amalek is Asher Karcha Baderech. That Amalek happens upon us on the way. But Rashi says that the word kar could mean karcha, like something happens, makara, right, what happened. But kar could also mean to cool down. Kar, mikarer, is a fridge, right? Something that's cooling, something that's dimming. Amalek's whole thing, we don't have time to get into the depth of it now. Mirtz Hashem, I have an article coming out next week all on this, a very lengthy article, which I'll post and hopefully we'll send around. Amalek's whole thing is to come to a Jew and to say, keep every mitzvah in the Torah. But do it with kriyas, do it with coolness, do it without passion, do it without energy. Do it so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just give you bracha and that you should be okay with him. You'll get Gan Eden in the next world. Who cares about Gan Eden? It's about this world. It's about a relationship. Schar. What is God, a vending machine? Amalek comes to you and says, keep everything. Be medakdik. But just with kriyas, with coolness. Not Yichu Kutcher B'Yichu Shkinti. Come to the wedding. You realize this world is a wedding, and then stand in line the whole time so that you could look at the drummer, see the way that he's drumming, and forget about the chassan and the kala who are dancing because they're about to build a whole eternity together. Forget about that. That's what Amalek says. Come to the wedding, but stand by the bang. Obsess yourself with the, give a mashal, but the sesame chicken by the shmork. Forget about the chuppah. Talk the whole way through the chuppah, but make sure that you're dancing really, you know, so everybody should look at you and see that you know how to break dance. All these little things, all these little small little things, that's Amalek. Be at the wedding of Judaism, but be completely disengaged with the ikra. That's what Amalek wants. Amalek is connected, obviously, with Haman, who embodies Amalek, right? Because what's Haman? Haman is Ben Agag all the way back to Amalek. Haman is the embodiment of Amalek. And that's why we read Parsha Zachar, right? By Purim. We lane the Parsha of on Purim that we lane is the Parsha of Amalek. Where's the source for Haman, says the Gemara in Chulin? Where's Haman min HaTorah minayin? Where's the source for Haman in the Torah? Who knows? The Pasuk? Hamin ha'etz. Which HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Chava and says, did you eat from the tree? Hamin ha'etz. The word hamin is the word Haman. And that's where Haman's root is in the Torah, not stam, where we find three letters that happen to also spell Haman. Deep, deep. That means that Haman Amalek is connected to the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Haman says, keep Yiddishkeit, but let it all be about what you did good and what you did not so good, and to go ahead and to fret and to worry all the time and be and to be weighed down of all your guilt that you didn't do the right thing and that therefore your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not so strong and therefore everything else in Yiddishkeit, because once you did want to have the relationship and then you looked in a certain place that you shouldn't have looked and you had a relationship that you shouldn't have had and you went to a place that you shouldn't have went and therefore after that you'll keep Yiddishkeit because you're a societal Jew and that's what's expected of you, but everything is with Yush and everything is with despair. The Eitz Hadas Tovara. Purim is all about the Eitz HaChayim. It's another tree in Yiddishkeit. It's the Eitz HaChayim. That tree of life is the tree of the Yichud Kutcher B'Yichu Shkinte. It's the tree of an unconditional relationship. It's the tree of Shir HaShir. These two trees ultimately show up, and we don't have time to go into it now. These two trees show up in the Har HaBayis and Har Sinai. Har Sinai and Har HaBayis. Har Sinai is Eitz HaDas Tovara. That's where all the laws are given. That's the legal aspect of Judaism. But the Har HaBayis is the relationship. The Har HaBayis is unconditional. Har Sinai is connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, our teacher. A relationship with a teacher is conditional. If you're a good student, he'll be your teacher. If not, you get thrown out of class. It's conditional. Har HaBayis is about the Avos HaKadoshim. Har HaBayis is what Avram brought Yitzchak up to that cave on Har HaBayis. That Yaakov Avinu has his dream on Har HaBayis. That Yitzchak L'suach Basad, Yitzchak goes out to daven for a shidduch on Har HaBayis. The Avos and the relationship with the Father is unconditional, and that's the Eitz HaChayim. So Amalek comes and says, make Yiddishkeit all about the Eitz Hadas Tovara, but forget that it's a relationship. Forget that you're connected. Forget that you're out of chuppah. And Purim comes to tell each and every Jew, Ein Shem Yush, Ba'olam Klal, that there's no despair. That there's a place where your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu can never possibly be broken, where he's begging us all the time, come to me. I want to hold you in my arms. I want to comfort you. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. After the destruction, after all the pain, after all the brokenness, after 2,000 years exile, Kadosh Baruch Hu brings us back to our land. And he tells us, I want to hold you in my arms. I want to have a relationship with you. I want it to be Eitz HaChayim. I want your Yiddishkeit to be full of life and vibrancy and vitality. Something else. Not the kriyas of Amalek. And with this we'll finish. The Gemara says, based on the pasuk in the Megillah, Lasos Keretzon Ish V'Ish. that Achashverosh wanted that the party should be Kirtzon Ish V'Ish, everybody was able to have whatever pleasure they wanted, Kirtzon Ish V'Ish, every person in accordance with his desire. That's the simple meaning. Says the unbelievable Gemara, Lasos Kirtzon Ish V'Ish, whatever this means, just on a deep, rather on a simple level, just to translate, says the Gemara, Lasos Kirtzon Ish, to do that which is in accordance with Ish, is a reference to Mordechai. Because Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi. So therefore, Lasos Kirtzon Ish is talking about Mordechai. V'ish is referring to Haman, because Haman is called Ish Tsar V'Oyev. Both are called Ish. Both are called men, right? In the Torah, in the Megillah. Mordechai is Mordechai HaYehudi, is Ish Yehudi. That's how he's introduced. And Haman is called ultimately Ish Tsar V'Oyev. Last is Kirtan Ish V'ish, and with this we'll finish. Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger Shlita from Ramat Beit Shemesh says in his Sefer, Vayoshet HaMelech, that the word of V'ish, which again the Gemara tells us V'ish Zehaman, has the osios, the letters Yush, despair. V'ish is Yush. Haman is all about despair. Haman is all about serving God in a way of despair. Haman is all about serving God in a way of Eitz Hadas Tova Ra, where if you make the wrong mistake, you're cut off, you have no relationship, it's not a passionate relationship anymore and connection. And that's the Yush of Haman. Haman is called V'ish, is Yush, is despair. Eitz Hadas Tova Ra, forget that it's a relationship. Ish, which is Mordechai, is Rashi Tevot, Ein Shum Yish. There's no despair. V'ish is the Osios, has the letters Yish, which is Haman. And Mordechai HaYehudi stands by the gates of the party where they're sitting and being disconnected from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forgetting about the Iker, literally munching on the Shmorg, literally. And Mordechai is screaming to them, don't forget about the Eitz Achayim. Don't forget that Yiddishkeit is a relationship. Don't forget that there's something so deep about the Torah that it's not just Avnei Shoham Shehem, but it's Avnei Miluyim, that Yiddishkeit is supposed to be filled with life and energy. It's supposed to be something that gives you comfort. It's supposed to be something beautiful, something that gives us stability, something that ultimately connects us to a world beyond, a chasen and a kala, a chuppah. That's Mordechai HaTzadik. It's called Ish, Ein Shum Yish. And Haman is all about Yish. So we should be Zochei Mirtz Hashem in the days leading up to Purim to connect ourselves through Truma. What a beautiful Parsha, to think, what can we give God? Lishmi, just on a simple level, it should be Lishma. What can we bring to the table? Each and every Jew needs to contribute something to build the Shechina. Without one Jew, if one person is missing, the Mishkan is incomplete. We need every single Jew to think about, what can I bring to the table? What can I offer God? What can I offer the Jewish nation? And let it be always Li Lishmi Truma, to separate ourselves. Truma, to separate from the tuffle, from the secondary things in life. And we should focus all the time on Vayikhu Li Lishmi, to be Miyachid Kuchurichu Shchinte, to connect to the Eitz HaChaim, that our stones of Yiddishkeit should be Avni Miluyim, filled with life and energy. Amen. Thank you so much for coming.